Welcome to the All or Something Living podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Kepler, and this podcast is all about ditching black and white thinking and exploring the gray areas of health, happiness, and everything in between. If you're ready to feel empowered and inspired, then let's get to it. Hey friends, welcome to episode 2 of the All or Something Living podcast. And this episode, we are going to just dive right into the deep stuff because if you know me, then you know that that is my style. I am somebody who is not a big fan of small talk. I prefer to have a lot of deep conversations, and honestly, small talk can drain me at times, which I know kind of sounds like a cliche thing to say, but it is true that I really like to dig deep in my conversations with friends. And yeah, so I'm not afraid to go there, I guess you could say. So I was thinking about which topic to go for my second episode. And the way that I usually like to decide on topics is based on what I'm going through in my personal life. So I thought it was really appropriate to share something that happened to me today, and the lesson that I learned behind it. And also just, I think we're really working on breaking the negative stigma that there is around anxiety, depression, and mental health. And we're really becoming more aware. So as we are becoming more aware, I think it's so important to have more conversations around what we go through on a daily basis that a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about or feel ashamed talking about. So the reason I like to share my stories is so that hopefully you can feel less nervous or less worried to talk about it and to ask for help when you need it. So today was like any other Monday for me, and on Mondays, it's the day off of my regular corporate job. So what I like to do on Mondays is spend the day working on my business. So this is when I record podcasts. This is when I start the writing for the current book I'm writing called All or Something Eating. And I also write blog posts and other things like that. So I went to Starbucks and I decided that because I finished the first manuscript of my book and I'm working on the first editing process, I thought, okay, I guess I can go to Starbucks and work from there without feeling too distracted because I already have it written. So at this point, all I need to do is just edit. So I made my way over to Starbucks. I sat down. It was around 8 a.m. when I started the day. So at that point, Starbucks was pretty empty. There wasn't a lot of people. The music was still fairly quiet, and it was a reasonable environment to do work in. A little bit of backstory. I am somebody who suffers from social anxiety at times, so being in crowds really terrifies me sometimes. I get very claustrophobic. I get really nervous. I oftentimes have to drink alcohol in order to be okay with being in a crowd because I'm easily overstimulated. So generally, environments with a lot of noise or a lot of distractions don't work well for me. So I sat down to start working on my writing, and for about the first hour, it was pretty peaceful. Then all of a sudden, it seemed like at once, a ton of people rushed in. The music suddenly got really loud. The woman next to me started talking to the other woman next to me, and a bunch of little distractions were creeping up all at once. Now, knowing myself and knowing how sensitive and emotional I've already been this weekend, I should have just packed up everything and just decided to work from home and to give myself a little bit of a break. But I decided with me starting school in the spring, I need to practice being in an environment like that and still being able to concentrate. So I decided to take a little bit of a break and do a quick meditation and just kind of try to get my mind right. So I went on and I did that and I got back to my work, or at least I tried to. All of a sudden, I just felt extremely overwhelmed by the amount of noise and I felt paralyzed out of nowhere. I couldn't breathe, and because of that, my face started to go numb. I started to shake and I started to panic, and then I just started a full-blown panic attack. So I left my stuff inside and I ran outside because I didn't know what else to do. All I knew is that I needed to get out of that environment and I needed help. And that's not something that reaching out for help isn't something that I would have done in the past. I think I would have felt embarrassed, or I would have felt like this is something that I should handle on my own. But my first instinct in this situation was to get somebody to help ground me and to help calm me down. So I went outside and I started calling everybody that I knew and trusted, knowing that it was kind of an odd time of the day, so it was likely that nobody would answer anyway. But I called a few people and then nobody answered, so I posted on Facebook asking for support. Thankfully, within a few minutes, my friend Allie called me back and I just told her what was going on, and she deals with the same things sometimes, and so she understood exactly what to do. If you're somebody that has possibly had a friend or a loved one going through the same situation and they're panicking and you're wondering, oh gosh, what do I do in this situation? The best thing to do here would be to be grounded yourself, to not panic along with that person. And along with that, just be there for them. So you don't need to feel like you have to say the right things or that you need to really do much other than just say some things and get your friend or loved one to be able to focus on your voice and to just reground themselves. So if you're somebody, maybe you know a little bit about meditation or grounding exercises, then you can even walk them through a grounding exercise. Remind them to feel their feet on the floor, to feel their where they're making contact with a chair. If they're sitting in a chair, you can help walk them through some breathing exercises. You can remind them to look around at objects around the room and to focus on three or four objects around the room. And Allie was really helpful in this situation because with me, she just was very soothing in her tone. And she just told me, you know, you've been going through a lot this weekend and it's been a really busy weekend for you. And I think, you know, it's time for you to calm down and take a little bit of a break. And then she just kind of allowed me to be a little crazy and all over the place and she just stayed on the phone with me. She offered support in coming down to see me where I was, and just walked me through the process. And within a few minutes, I was calmed down. And to be honest, I feel like so much has changed, because I feel like in the past, I would have been so embarrassed. I wouldn't have wanted to draw attention to myself. But honestly, I was like, you know what? This is just what's going on with me right now. This is what's real for me right now. And I showed up as I was. I was very emotional inside of Starbucks and a lot of people were staring at me, but I honestly was just too wrapped up in taking care of myself to care. But to be honest, everyone was very supportive. Everyone that was walking by just gave me looks of sympathy. The woman next to me, she was a stranger, but she rubbed my shoulder, and the barista looked at me and he mouthed, "Are you okay?" And I told him, "Yes, I was." And you don't always have to explain or have a reason to have something wrong with you. If anyone would have asked, I would have just told them, "I just had a panic attack. I just got a little bit overwhelmed and I'm okay now." I think a lot of times we can feel really silly if we don't have an exact reason why we're crying or why we're upset and we're not able to explain it to anybody. And honestly, by the time that I was crying and that I was very upset, I had let myself get to the point where I could barely even speak or explain what was going on with me anyway. So that's when it's really helpful to have a few trusted friends or family members around that just kind of understand you and will be available as often as possible to just be with you. So back to the point of reaching out for help. I understand how difficult this can be, and it's something that I used to be so extremely stubborn about, was asking for help, reaching out for help. One of the hardest things for me was admitting that I needed help sometimes. I've always been such an independent person, and for me, I've always thought I could get through things on my own because I've been really good at getting through everything on my own. But sometimes, like in a case like this, I really need help and I really need to just ask for help. I'm willing to bet that you are somebody who is very supportive to others. I imagine that you really love when people ask you for help, and you're always there taking care of people and being there when they are going through things. But maybe it's hard for you to accept help when it's your turn. And I know this because I had the same mindset. I used to feel like I'm just a natural caretaker, but I don't want to be a burden on others. This is the way I think of it now. A lot of people, part of the reason that we feel like we have a purpose in life, and one of the things that helps us to feel like we have a purpose in life, is by helping others and being there for others and serving others. So when you reach out for help, what you're actually showing somebody is that they're valuable to you. They're somebody that you trust enough to reach out and to support you. And it really helps them also to see your vulnerable side. It strengthens your relationship with them. And it just is a good reminder that relationships and friendships are supposed to go both ways. It's not just one person always taking care of the other person. And that's the part that is also really important to keep in mind, is that it's totally fine to reach out for help and know that you're not a burden when you're doing so. However, when it's time for your friends to reach out for help or to lean on you, it is really important that you make sure that you're somebody that they can lean on as well, that the energy is going both ways. But as long as you're doing that, then you should never feel ashamed for needing something. So with that, let's move into the topic of anxiety and depression a little bit. Obviously, I'm not a therapist, so I won't know the exact reasons or treatments, or, you know, just keep in mind that this is not official advice and that you should seek advice from a therapist, a certified therapist. However, I do know some things about this topic because obviously I have experience with both, social anxiety, regular anxiety, depression. I'm prone to all of those things, and mental illness runs in my family. So I am speaking from my personal experience and things that I have learned through doing research on the topic, and also speaking on a few things that I know from dealing with these things. So something that I've heard often is that if you are feeling anxious, then it is because you are worried or focused on the future. And that if you're feeling depressed, it's because you are focused on the past and you are having a hard time letting go of what happened in the past. And then if you are present, they say that you can always be happy in the present moment. Now, that's a very simplified way of looking at things, which can be really helpful if it's almost like a surface level anxiety or depression. It's nothing that runs deep. Like, say you're anxious one day because you're stressed about a job interview, or you're worried about a test that you have to take tomorrow. And then same with depression. If you're looking back on a failed relationship or a friendship and you feel really sad about that, then that can be a good reminder that you can focus on the present because the past is gone and the future isn't here yet. So it's just best to let things unfold as they will. However, if you are somebody that deals with anxiety and depression, and I'm sure you are if you are interested in listening to this episode, then you understand that sometimes it's a little bit deeper than that. And sometimes the solution isn't as simple as just meditating and focusing on the present. Sometimes our depression can come from a chemical imbalance. I know for my ladies out there and myself, a lot of the times it comes from a hormonal imbalance. That's definitely the case for me. Also, the case for me used to be related to the foods that I was eating, the exercise that I was not doing, and it was also related to an eating disorder that I had, which I will outline in another episode. But as you can see, and as you know, it can be related to a lot of different issues. So the first thing that you can do when you're experiencing these things is to just try to find the root cause. I know a lot of people go on medication for these things. Maybe you might get an incorrect diagnosis so that the doctor or psychiatrist can just put you on medication. And you might, maybe up to this point, have experienced that as being the only solution, especially if you're thinking it's a chemical imbalance. But being somebody who is a holistic practitioner like myself, I understand that with everything, there's a root cause. And while medication might be a helpful supplement, it's also very helpful to find the root cause and to work with that. So if you know it's a chemical imbalance, or you suspect that it's a chemical or hormonal imbalance, can you visit a doctor and get your levels tested? Can you visit a holistic practitioner and find out what foods can make the depression or anxiety increase, or what foods can help it decrease? There are a lot of great resources online now, especially nowadays, for hormonal balancing without having to use birth control. I personally prefer flowliving.com, and I have the book, The Woman Code, and it doesn't always help right away. And there's obviously, so it's easier to go the medication route because it's simple. All you have to do is take a medication and your symptoms are reduced or even go away completely. But when you take the holistic route, you will have to do some experimenting and really paying attention to the signals that your body is telling you. Or if you have potential triggers that you're aware of, for me, like, you know, having social anxiety, knowing how to read my body and understand, like, if I'm feeling more emotional or I'm feeling a little bit antisocial, it's probably best that those are the times that I honor my needs. And instead of going out and partying or being around a lot of people, those are the times that I kind of go within myself and spend some time at home being a little bit of a hermit crab, reading books. That's when I really move my business forward or spend time with people that I'm really close to that I feel really comfortable with. But the idea in that case would be to seek less stimulation. When I'm at work and I'm experiencing anxiety, I like to run myself through some breathing exercises. One of my favorite breathing exercises for anxiety is alternate nostril breathing, and you can YouTube that. You can also Google it. My favorite resource for things like meditation and breathing exercises, I really love to use Natalie McNeil. So you can Google her name, and I will put them in the show notes as well, or put her information in the show notes. Another really big indicator for me when I'm having depression or anxiety is usually it's my body's way or my mind's way of telling me that I'm unhappy in my current situation and that there's something that I need to change, which can also be really scary. So there is a lot of fear associated with anxiety and depression and life in general. And I think a lot of people feel stuck, or they allow themselves to stay down because they're afraid of facing what's going on with them, or facing having to make a really big change, or even just a small change. And when we're feeling depressed, getting out of bed can just be hard enough. And so sometimes when you are feeling depressed, it does help to just start with the little things. Take yourself for a walk so that you are getting some exercise and you're getting some fresh air. That will slowly give you momentum. Talking to somebody. So doing the little things first, maybe changing the way that you're approaching food. If you're eating a lot of food that's not making you feel well and that's making you feel really tired and sluggish, can you go for fresher, lighter foods to help you out? So once you're able to take those small steps, you'll start feeling better. And that's how you can move into taking the bigger steps that may feel a little bit scarier. But overall, the theme here is just knowing that your anxiety and depression is trying to tell you something, and all that you need to do is listen. And obviously easier said than done, but seek help if you need to. If you need to get therapy, then find a therapist that can help. You can also find a life or a health coach to help you make those lifestyle changes that will help you feel better. But I want you to know that in any circumstance, you don't have to feel like a victim. You don't have to feel like this is just the card that you've been dealt. And that's another thing that I've felt before. I remember being a young girl and feeling really depressed and sad all the time. I thought that this is the life that's been handed to me. This is just the card I've been dealt, and this is just what I'm going to have to put up with for the rest of my life. And I thought, man, life feels really difficult if this is what it takes. Like, I just don't want to be here any longer. And those feelings followed me into my like early 20s. And for a long time, once I got into holistic nutrition and holistic wellness, I was able to really begin to manage them, and I'm still a lot better at managing them than I used to be, especially when it comes to recognizing what's going on and knowing that there are ways to treat the situation, and that, again, I'm not a victim to my circumstances, that there are things that I can do to feel better. But I want you to know that I know that this is a really hard road, and it can get so exhausting sometimes. When, for me, it takes a lot to quote unquote, stay above water. So I have to do a lot of things to feel happy and to feel okay in my everyday life. And that includes eating well and exercising regularly and meditating and having strong, healthy friendships and relationships and always working towards a goal or growing in some way. And when, on the days when I feel most depressed, where I can barely get out of bed, where I can't even muster the energy to do all the things that make me happy, that's when I feel the most hopeless and the most exhausted and the most, like, I feel like I want to give up. But when I was a young girl and there were times where I contemplated and started to make a plan about, you know, how to commit suicide, I thought about the people that loved me, and I thought about how much that would hurt them. And also, I just always had this little voice whispering in the back of my mind telling me to just hang on a little bit, that it'll get better, that I meant to do bigger things in this world, and that I just had to take one step forward, and that was enough. So for you, just take one step at a time. Don't be afraid to feel the feelings and the emotions. Don't think that there is something wrong with you, because a lot of people struggle with anxiety and depression more so than they talk about. Just be gentle on yourself and honor your needs. Treat yourself as if you were a child who needed something but didn't know how to speak up for themselves. And so here you are being the investigator with the child, you know, changing their diaper, seeing if they're hungry, just trying out different things to see what it is they need. Do the same for yourself, and don't beat yourself up for the hard times, for the times where you can't show up in the way that you want to, and for the feeling that you're not enough and that you're not doing enough, because you definitely are. And the fact that you are feeling the difficult feelings that you are, but you're still pushing through, that's amazing. So some of the options that you have available to you, depending on the severity of what you're going through, include sometimes it just takes a little bit of self-care, and self-care can look can come in many different forms. Today, my form of self-care was taking myself home and taking a nap and just lowering the amount of stimulation. So I turned off my phone. I just laid there in silence until I felt good enough to start working on my stuff again. Self-care for me today also included reaching out to a friend, reaching out for support, seeking therapy if that's something that you're willing to do, if that's something that's available for you. If you're feeling like it's getting a little bit intense, then definitely reach out for help in a deeper way. Call the suicide hotline, 1-800-273-8255. There's also a crisis text hotline available 24/7 if you don't feel comfortable talking on the phone to somebody. You can text HOME to 741741. And also know that I'm always available to you. You can reach out to me on social media, on Instagram at Lauren M. Kepler, on Facebook at Lauren Kepler, or email lauren.m.kepler@gmail.com. Like I said in the beginning, this is a little bit of a deeper, more serious episode, but again, it's something that I think we need to destigmatize and feel more comfortable talking about our feelings and what we're experiencing. So the all or something lesson here is that you won't always be happy and you won't always have it all together, and that's okay. If maybe you're known for being somebody that is always peppy and always happy, and you feel like if you have a bad day or you look sad or feel sad that you're letting somebody else down, just remember that it's okay for you to show up in any moment in the way that you feel, and people will understand. And again, you will humanize yourself. You'll make yourself even more relatable, and that you'll become closer to others by being vulnerable and sharing your experiences. And maybe you'll actually even help somebody along the way by being honest about what you're going through and by seeking help and showing them that they can do the same. Because I think a lot of us are living in a facade. We're putting up a facade for ourselves and for our lives, and that's not giving other people permission to live authentically and freely and to express what it is that they're going through. So as I always say, and like I'll tell you often, you are enough and you're doing enough. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you got something out of it, or if you feel like a friend needs to hear this message, then please share, subscribe to this podcast, leave a review if that's on your heart. But I want you to know that I'm here for you and I am always available to listen.